Sure, today for the following reason. There are basically, in terms of the categories of Shemitah food, there's a lot of other things of Shemitah. Can you work? Can you not? Well, what can you do? What can't you do? But in terms of the food, there's two types of Shemitah products. Okay, or this, I should say it differently. There are two different areas that you have to worry about. One is, does the food have Kedusha Shvius, even if you can eat it? For example, the highest form of food to eat, the best form of food, is called Otzer Beis Din, which I'm sure you know, is where normal Jews let the land work normally. They don't work the land, but whatever grows, grows. The fruit that grows, grows, and they pick it, and they don't make a profit on it, and Beis Din supervises the sale for the labor, and that's really the best fruit you can grow. But that has Kedusha Shvius, which means you can't throw away the extras, or at least put them into a bag, and you have to use them the right way. Okay? There's something else called the Isser of Svichim. That applies to vegetables. At a certain point of the year, not now, then svichen are usher to eat. Not just you have to eat them in the right way, but you can't eat them. Okay? So those are the two categories. Now, that second category of svichen isn't relevant yet until around Hanukkah time. So that second issue of whether the Shemitah of produce is usher or not, it shouldn't be on your minds during Chol HaMoed. Even if there is produce which is Shemitah, which are vegetables, okay? Food can't be Shemitah because fruit is based on, the Shemitah tagging is based on when it blossom, and all the fruit that you're going to be eating now blossom before Shemitah. So there is no fruit. There's no apple, there's no pear, there's no grapes right now in the market that's Shemitah. So as far as fruits are concerned, for the next 2-3 weeks, there is no Shemitah out there. The vegetables that are picked on Shemitah, which are, you know, the vegetables by this point are vegetables that have been picked after Rosh Hashanah, they are Shemitah produce, unless they come from Chutz Laaretz, unless they... But as a consumer, that shouldn't in any way, shape, or form affect you. That means that whoever picked them has to pick them in a certain way and sell them in a certain way. But from your perspective, the only, just to make it easy for you, the only Shemitah issue that you have to have in your mind right now is if you are in an Airbnb, or you're in a kitchen or something, and you're cooking with some tomatoes or something, treat them the right way, don't waste them, eat as much as you can. Again, they could be from Chutz Laaretz, but it's, you don't know. You can look in the supermarkets, they have them from Chutz Laaretz, you don't have to worry about them. But and what about if they're het mechira? So again, het mechira, even if you don't rely on the kula, this will be very important later on in the year, even if you don't rely on the kula, you can still eat the fruits. Het mechira is primarily to solve the problem from the front end, the farmers, the people selling the fruits. Het mechira, if you have regular Shemitah fruit that didn't have het mechira, you're allowed to eat them. You don't have to starve on Shemitah. You can go to the... So the problem with Shemitah fruit, not vegetables, and vegetables will only start those problems around Hanukkah time. The Shemitah issues with fruit is primarily from the farmer, because fruits basically grow by themselves. So it's the selling and the picking and the protecting and the shamor and the nevad. So that's something you don't have to worry about. So again, right now for the next 2 weeks, we'll start getting into the Ganer on Chanukah. But since you're out of yeshiva, eat whatever you want, okay? As long as it has a heksher, okay? There's nothing on the market right now that's usher for you to eat. Even if the people on the back end didn't follow the halachas of Shemitah. But vegetables have Kedusha Shvius. So that means if you're in someone's house, you don't have to run into their kitchen and start rearranging their kitchen for them. That's their business. So if you're staying in someone's house, they could ask you, oh, you're a Shiva Bacher, what should I do? So you'll say, well, the vegetables probably should be very careful about Kedusha Shvius. Don't use them irregularly. Don't throw away the waste. Either put them into a separate pail till they decompose, or at least double bag them before you throw them out. And that would be the... But if they don't ask you, you shouldn't do all of a sudden. That's not your place right now. It's not telling people how to run their Shemitah kitchen. Okay? Mirtz Hashem, when Chanukah time comes, you have to think about it again. Of course, you want to make sure you follow proper Hechsher and you eat in a proper restaurant as you would the entire year and not just during Shemitah. Okay? Any questions? Everything clear? Like people were Mordechai, yeah?
Yeah, let's say, for example, you're investing a lemon or investing an orange.
You are?
Investing.
Investing?
Oh, zesting.
What does zesting mean?
Okay.
So right now, again, it doesn't apply to fruits. Would you be zesting vegetables right now?
No.
All the fruits on the market right now are not Shemitah. Because the next year you'll have that problem. Because the fruits all blossom before Shemitah. So there's no possible scenario where there's fruits on the market right now that you have to worry about Shemitah. In terms of that question, when it's relevant for fruits, to look into it. Is that a normal way to use it or not? Yes, Levi.
Some of the Kedusha Shvius, are we allowed to throw it out if it's a sacrifice?
For sure. Once it's not edible, once it's decomposing, you can. Again, in most cases where you're going to be on the run, well, let's say for argument's sake, you buy a falafel, okay, as dachle merkuzit, and you're in transit, and you have some vegetables in there, which you may worry, maybe kiddush shvius, so you're not going to all of a sudden carry a separate pail around with you of garbage. Just double bag it. Ask the person for a double bag and put it in the garbage. At this point, you're not directly causing ruinage to Shemitah produce. You're double bagging, and therefore the ruinage will happen on its own rather than being in contact with the other garbage that you're throwing in the bag. So for your needs, that's all you need to know. Okay? Don't run anyone else's kitchen. If you have your own Airbnb, have a little Shemitah pile that you put the vegetables into. If you're on the run, then just get a double bag or wrap it really, really, really well, so then when you toss it in the garbage, it's not going to cause, you're not directly causing damage. Leo?
Is the double wrapping only for the edible parts, or like there's like peels and stuff?
Well, a lot of peels of vegetables are edible. It's really, really unedible. You don't have to worry about it. But if it's edible, again, the cucumber peels are edible. So we'll eat it. Carrot. Most of the vegetables have edible peels. There won't be a non-edible peel. I mean, even corn is. I mean, left over in the corn. Just be mocked with an old vegetable. So you can find ways to be makeable. But yes.
How about like bread and other
things? No, there's no Shemitah with bread. Yeah, you don't have to worry about bread. Bread, you're fine. Yes, Mordechai. Okay, but that's the question for Hanukkah. Right now, do what you want with an orange. So let's focus on your kippur. But with Hanukkah,
I mean, for vegetables in general, you can make vegetables, like, you can use vegetables as juices.
Okay, so if most people use those vegetables as juices, you can use them. Okay, generally, don't use it in a wasteful manner. If you're using it in a normal way that most people use it, the issue that most people come up with is, let's say, by Havdalah, where somebody will have a minhag to douse the flame with the Shemitah wine, or with wine, shouldn't do it with Shemitah. That would be an abuse of the item, because you're not really getting direct enough from it. Okay? Okay. Now, I'll tell you two stories to let you know how easy it is, Bizman HaZeh, to be Yotze Dalad Minim, and that will be a setup for how more complicated it is to be Yotze Sukkah, especially in Eretz Yisrael. My Zaidi, who was a Rav in Europe, told me that one year he used the lulav from last year because it was one lulav that would make it to town. If you know someone whose last name is Citron or Esrog, they probably come from a family whose job it was in their shtetl in Europe starting Yom Kippur to try to find an Esrog and Dalaminim for the next year. That's how hard it was because these are tropical fruits. So if you're with the family, it's your job to spend 12 months asking couriers and people to bring things for you, get someone from Morocco, get someone from Tanzania or something, to go bring an Esrog or a Lulav. And you are the one in town, you are called Mishpachas Esrog or Mishpachas Sitra. Fascinating Jewish genealogy. Okay, so my Zaidi in this town in Europe, they didn't get a Lulav, just didn't arrive. Well, you know, fabled stories of the Lulav and Esrog not arriving. So he said, use last year's Lulav. It's a Machlokas Rishonim. What a Lulav Hayavesh is. According to Moshe Shanim, if it turns white, which is a couple months in, so you can't use last year's lulav. But according to Telsus, one day in Telsus, which the Rama quotes, is that it's not a lulav hayavesh until it's nifrach betzivar, until it crumbles in your hands. They think he's a lulav for 70 years. How long would it take for a lulav to start to crumble? Something Mar actually says that people used to be marish the lulavs to their kids, and who's going to be yarish Zaidi's lulav? Who's going to use great Saba Rabba's lulav? Right? You get the trill and you get the lulav. Anyway, so Dalan Minim was very hard, and to me it always, and I think this is inherent in the Rambam, the Maran Ebuchim, that the Dalan Minim are all indigenous to Eretz Yisrael, and it's a way to keep Jews, no matter where you lived, focused on the Middle East, on Eretz Yisrael. You didn't have to get from Eretz Yisrael, but you had to move south. Jews migrated north during the Churban, Germany, Poland, England, and someone's saying, you know, for Sukkot, come south. Go down to the tropical area, think about Eretz Yisrael, think about Dalan Minim. So either physically go south, or in your mind, go south. Aravas and Hadas and obviously not so much. Now, today, Baruch Hashem, I can promise you, you could close your eyes, put a blindfold on, spin around three times, drink some wine, get really drunk, walk into a store, pick up an esrog, and that would be more mehuda than the Vilna Gaon's esrog. That's how easy it is to find an esrog today. Anything on the market. Now, if you decide you want to be a Vatal Torah and waste all your time looking, I did it also. It's a great way. It's like holy Bittul Torah and unholy Bittul Torah. This is definitely holy Bittul Torah. Spending 5 hours picking out an essay. And I did it also. It's fun. It's great. It feeds your OCD tendencies. I love it. Nothing greater than feeding your OCD. And I did it also when I was your age. It's all good. Two stories, just to let you know you shouldn't fret about picking Dalad Minim. Evidently, Rabbi Soloveitchik was once walking out of shul in Maimonides in Boston. And it was an upper story. And someone dropped his esrog on a flight of stairs. And the esrog fell down 7 flights of stairs into the street. A piano fell on it. Ran over by a garbage truck, like in the cartoons. And the Rav said, I want to see that Eslik. Why? I've never seen a Pasul Eslik. So basically, anything is kosher. I mean, again, buy from someone reputable. If a guy, pulls up in a jacket, won't buy an Eslik. Don't buy from me. You see a normal, frum-looking person. I can send you to my son's table in Meir, you can buy from him. I also have a son of Lola. Everyone sells. For nice from people, I think Patel Kohen sells this rugging. Another story. Before you answer your question, Boss. Rav Schechter once walked into a Malchus Sfarim, because in America, you walk into the Sfarim store and you get your Dalamina. So Rav Schechter walked into a Malchus Sfarim store, and the person in the store, oh my goodness, Rav Schechter's coming. So he called his assistant, Jose, show him a couple psulim, show him a couple great bees, stole him. I'm going to go in the back and find him the nicest esser. Okay, Jose, he's a really important guy. Stole him. So the guy runs to the back looking for the esser. Jose shows him a couple of dregs. Rav Schechter says, okay, I'll take any ones. The first answer when he walked out. Well, what happened, Jose? He didn't follow the plan. So he took the first answer. He's Rav Schechter. He doesn't want to waste his time sitting there on all sorts of OCD. So don't worry. Okay, whatever you're picking out is easy. Ironically, it's actually hard to pick out a lulav and an esser. That always is against me. The real core of the lulav is the tiyomis, the middle one, and that should be as close as possible. So the only thing you could possibly find possible in the shuk today, or the lulavim, you have to make sure it's not more than a tefach open. So it's just basically, it takes me 3 seconds to check a lulav. I don't look at the shape, assuming it's not like purple and spotted and yellow, but I just find the tiyom, the middle leaf, I look at it, make sure it's closed. Is it hitter to have it totally closed, even a little, open is kosher. That's what a lulav is. Yeah, a general shape, it should be hunchback, it shouldn't be, but none of the lulavim on our ordinance today. Okay, Boaz, yes?
Do they sell Italian drogum in Israel?
You can tell I don't know the answer to that question. You're Machman or Italian, that's right. Okay, now, unlike Dalad Minim, Sukkah, a little more difficult. Why is it a little more difficult? Well, there are two factors in Eretz Yisrael that make Sukkahs a little bit more complicated, sitting in the Sukkah and sleeping in the Sukkah, which we'll talk about. Number one, America, Canada, a lot of space. Go west. You build as many sukkahs as you want in Montana. Open sky. Put up 4 poles, 4 walls. You got yourself a sukkah. Israel, a lot of people live here. We all live together. We all live on top of each other. Walls, alleys, barns, roofs. Everyone's like on top of each other. So there's a lot of places and you have a lot of ad hoc sukkahs. The sense that I'm going to just go out and find my space. 4 poles and stuff. You don't really have that luxury here. You have obviously in the lunch in some places, but especially in restaurants, which are in very congested areas, which is what I'm talking about, or hotels, which are trying to build sukkahs alongside of hotel accommodations and hotel structures. So you've got a lot of fidgeting. The second problem you can have, and again, especially for you, is I think I know how to build a sukkah. I think you know how to build a sukkah. But your average Israeli falafel store owner may not, but he certainly thinks he does. So in America, if you're a non-religious falafel store owner, you're saying, I got to ask the mashkiach. Mashkiach, the next time you do it, if you build the sukkah, mashkiach looks at it. Israel, everyone's an expert. Everyone knows. No one's asking questions in Israel. So you see some really interesting sukkahs, even when there are spaces. Basically, that second part, people just assume it's sukkah. And you'll see in a lot of parks or beaches or whatever you're going, you'll just see 4 poles and sukkah. That's not a sukkah. You need walls. Well, that's chuppah, right? But people just don't know what they're doing. Or even if they know they need walls, they've got a very, very loose sense of what walls are. So that's why finding the proper sukkah is not as easy as it looks. Oh, it's a kosher store. It must be a kosher sukkah, right? Not really. The food may be kosher. The sukkah may be pasul. Okay. Here's how you find a sukkah. The good news is you don't have to all of a sudden be makshir the whole sukkah. You have to find a little part of the sukkah that's kosher. There's no such thing as, oh, the sukkah is pasul. That part is puzzle because it doesn't have all the necessary factors. But this part is puzzle. So what do you have to find? You have to find an area that is 7 tfachim, or 7 tfachim, 24, 48, like about 50 inches, let's say 54 inches this way. This is a top view. 54 inches this way, of kosher. We'll talk about what kosher is.
And then,
what?
Isn't a tefach 3 or 4 inches?
No.
A
tefach? A tefach 3 inches. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Tefach is 3. I'm doing centimeters. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Sorry, I'm doing centimeters. I'm trying to convert to inches.
A tefach is 3 inches. So you need 21.
21, thank you.
And a little bit. Thank you. I was doing centimeters. You need 21, 21, and just a little jutting edge, even a pole. And as long as this area has good walls, we'll talk about what good walls are, and good tzchach, which is obvious to you, it's also merumi chamser, which is not so obvious because sometimes, especially in windy areas, they'll put the tzchach up and they won't check it during service. And especially if you're, let's say, near the beach or in a windy area on a mountain, all of a sudden the tzchach will move more than 3 tefachim away from the walls. We'll talk about what that means. So that's not good. You need to have thick tzchach that blocks out the sun and tzchach that comes at least 3 inches close to the vector of the wall. I don't care what's happening in this part of the sukkah, and here there's another store, and here there's another, and they've all built one big sukkah, and this whole sukkah is puzzle. You say, I want to eat here. And sometimes it means you wait for the table. You don't just take the first table available. Or if you're in a hotel, I've been in hotels before, I've scouted out the sukkah before, and I say, we need to eat here, because this place is not kosher for the sukkah. So you don't have to kosher the whole sukkah, you just have to find a wall, and a wall, and a little pole. I've been at bar mitzvahs and sukkahs, not weddings, but bar mitzvahs and sukkahs, where, you know, I was in some little park somewhere, and they'd been a sukkah, and I said, you know, let's all go sit and eat there. So all you have to find, and you should try to eat within the angle, within the diagonal. Bidyavid, you can eat within the entire spaced area. This is a bidyavid. If you don't have walls here, right, this is where the kosher wall ends. We should try to get yourself within the enclosure. Okay, now, what is the most common problem, assuming there are walls? If there's no walls, it's easy, you can see it, just, you know, forget it, move on, keep on going. What's the most common problem? The height of the wall, now this is a side view, the height of the wall has to be 10 tefach, which is 30 inches. Now, it can't be, it should be more or less fastened down, it should be swaying in the wind. Most people at this point know about it, right? If you have a swaying wall, bidyavid, you could be some mechonim, but I don't want you guys to all of a sudden take a bidyavid track. It can't be more than 9 inches from the ground. So the wall can't be high. Sometimes it doesn't reach the bottom, but if it's less, anything less than 9 inches in a sukkah, ignore. Tzchach, walls, anything less than 9 inches is lavud, and it does it. It's like the space is filled. Now, what happens if here's the tzchach, and it's more than 9 inches? Not a problem. On the bottom, it's a problem. On the top, it isn't a problem. So the first question is, what if the wall doesn't hit the ground? As long as it's close to 9 inches to the ground, you're fine. What if the wall doesn't hit the height of the tzchach? No problem. As long as the wall is itself 30 inches, which is fine. Those of you who helped me build the sukkah on my porch the other day, remember that little, you know, area, that little, like, the stone? Stone is more than 30 inches high. I'm going to put up stuff for privacy, but I've got my walls. So all you need is walls that hit 30 inches, whatever 30 inches are, and you've got a setup. Okay? Yes, Ellie.
Does the, like, wall have
to
be 10
tefachim,
include the lavud on the bottom?
It should be 10 tefachim. Again, you could be some mechonah, but it should be 10. Again, it's very, very hard to find someone that builds a wall that's not 30 inches. What's 30 inches? I mean, it's really, really hard to find a wall that's not 30. Yeah, don't worry about that. Worry more about it on the bottom. Top, you don't have to worry, but we'll talk about the top in a moment. Mordechai.
Does the wall have to be connected?
What do you mean, the top?
Meaning you have like a brick, you have like a brick wall, but you only have 30 inches of the brick wall, and it's connected to the side.
As long as it's called gerasik, it goes all the way up. As long as it's 30 inches, it goes again. As long as it's vectored alongside of the sach, okay. So this is where the wall doesn't go all the way up, but it's vectored to the sach. Okay. Now, what happens if the wall is goes all the way up, or doesn't go all the way up, but it's distant from the schach? So again, as long as you've got less than 9 inches, you're fine. More than 9 inches, it's possible. Okay, so this is a common issue, because it's really hard to get the schach. Again, depending, like in my sukkah, it's really hard, because my walls go like this and this and this, so if I just roll out a regular mat of schach, since the sort of like the protrusions are not even, so let's say here's the wall of this place, but then the wall goes in here. So if I roll out my mat of schach, it's not going to go into that little corner. And at this point, there's going to be a space of 9 inches. I get filled. So this is a common issue. When you have an area in the sukkah where you have more than 9 inches from the schach to the wall. Okay, now again, you could just say, like, that's not a part of the circle I want to be in. Okay, so I'm just looking for, again, 21 by 21 by 1, where I've got kosher schach. But that's one issue. Okay, now, moving along. What happens, and this is really very, very common, where you have, the schach is all gray, but you have overhang over the schach. A balcony is overhanging the schach. Or a tree is overhanging the schach. So here you have, easier, you have 4 amas. So we're going to do an am. Am's about 50, so it's about 2 meters. Anyone meter to inches? Help me here.
36 feet.
6 feet. Okay, so you have about 6 feet, and the circle is kosher, but you shouldn't sit there. You can sit under empty space less than 9 inches. Here, you got 6 feet to say, you know what, it's fine, this wall counts. I'm going to count this as one of my walls, even though here there's a tree overhanging, but this is a good wall, I'm going to sit right here. I'm counting the wall. I need walls and schach. I need walls connected to schach in a halachic manner. This is called a wall connected to schach in a halachic manner, but it should be sitting under that 6 feet. Okay, so that's something which happens pretty often, where the tree is overhanging, a balcony is overhanging. I don't know what they call that hotel, the Inbol Hotel. I'll get to it in a second. Very often in hotels, if you're eating in hotels, they've got to find large areas to build a sukkah. And the large areas are normally the courtyards or... And you have balconies, overhangings. That's really an issue you have.
I'm saying that.
What?
I'm saying that.
Okay, so there, at least in my day, okay, here you have the following problem, okay? There's a halacha in Rabbi Akiva Eger, which you'll learn about one day, that although there are a lot of halacha l'moshe misinai that you can use in a sukkah during achshir, it's a fascinating phenomenon. Gurachas, gurasek, lovet, dofen akuma, bihidav, dofen munshanim, tons of less than 4 walls, with shan kiyachsan shisha filo tefach, you shouldn't use a sukkah with 2 halacha l'moshe misinai working in unison. Now, what you have in the Inbol, at least in my day, was as follows. You had good achiz and dofen akuma together. What did you have? And I'll tell you my story. And if you have to check it, you know, when you're there, you can send me pictures and I'll try my best to answer to you. You have the wall going up. The walls are like the glass walls of the lobby. Those are walls, glass walls are fine. Ryoshi says, no, but we're passing, they're fine. And then you have like balconies overhanging. The schach goes like this, okay? So this area overhanging, it's less than 6 feet. So it's dofen akuma, it's fine. But that's applying halacha l'moshe misinai. And then the walls don't hit the schach. So you have good achiz trying to bring the wall up. So you have good achiz and dofen akuma working in unison. So at least in 1987, when my parents came to visit me and they spent a lot of money to stay in the Inbol, and I saw this was happening, so I quickly called the mashgiach, and I didn't like the answer he gave me. Like he didn't think he was taking it so seriously. So I forced my parents to eat with me in the waiter's sukkah. I like them so more little sukkah on the side, like the waiters and the waitresses and the cleaning ladies. So my parents came from America, spent tons of money to be in the Inbol, and we're sitting there eating from our little plates, our little plastic plates, because that's what's to eat out of a sukkah. So just, I don't know what's happened there. I imagine over the last 37 years, there's so much like to update the sukkah. In general, if you know what you're doing, you can find solutions. It's not hard to find solutions. Like, if you, what you should do is get there a day early, try to ask where the mashgiach is. Say, you know, if you want, you can have him, put him in touch with you. What's that mean? Just say, is there a combination in this sukkah of dofen akuma and good achiz? The walls don't have to hit the schach. The schach doesn't have to hit the walls if there's material in between. But you can't have both. You can't have, to make it simple, you can't have walls that don't hit the height of the schach and schach that doesn't hit the vector of the wall, even though there's material in between, working together. That's the most common strange psul in a sukkah. Again, the sukkah that's most possible, you go to the park, there's no wall. So you can eyeball. It's obviously that it's possible. But this is a common mistake that people make because there's a lot of overhanging. Okay, overhanging is fine, but then you really got to make sure that your wall hits the schach. That's the solution. Just build a wall all the way up. So you don't have to use good achis. All you're using is dofen akuma. Ariel? No, if it's over dalan amas, that wall's out. That wall's not connected to schach. If it's 4 amas or less, then that wall is connected to the schach. You shouldn't sit there. You can use that wall as one of your two plus walls. No, not the distance between the overhang and the schach, the protrusion of the overhang. You can't have more than four amos, 6 feet of pasul eschach on the side. In the middle, forget it, pasul the whole eschach. But on the side, you line up 6 feet of pasul eschach and still say, that's my wall, as long as I'm not sitting under the eschach. So those balconies overhung the sukkah. If the balconies overhang the sukkah by more than 6 feet from the wall of the sukkah, then that wall's out, because that's not dofen akuma. But if I remember correctly, at least then, the balcony was like overhanging, not that much, but a little bit over the schach. Oh, it's dofen akuma, but wait a second, I can use dofen akuma, but my wall isn't rising to the level of the schach. So that's the most common psul. Yes, yeah.
When you see a schach is resting directly on the metal poles of the sukkah,
well, you can't be mekel. You can't be mekel in mind. We're machmir and maimid. It's based on one shita in the Ran. Again, you should build your sukkah with maimid that of sherim. But there, yesh al milismach. Big poskim said yesh al milismach. Again, when you're building your sukkah, don't use the malmis mekabel tumma. But if you're in a hotel or something, and again, it gets a little ticky. But you certainly, wherever you're staying, you want to make sure you're there a little bit early and as humbly as you can. Blame it on me. The rabbi said I have to check the sukkah. Again, I'm assuming most cases you're staying with people that know halacha, but if you're staying with someone that doesn't, you really have to be careful. I mean, this is a serious mitzvah deraisa. This is not a... There'll be times this year when I'll tell you, be mekel and kavod abrias. When it comes to Shemitah, and you could be samach and the mechira for kavod abrias, I think it's not a ability, it's a chiyav to be mekel, because kavod abrias is dochi sirmsha midrabanan. But this is not a midrabanan. This is a mitzvah deraisa, and it could be an isatid outside of the sukkah. So this is real. This is a time to get real, and either make sure you stay with someone that knows, or go eat in restaurants. Just come home and eat fruits and stuff. And, obviously Yom Tov is a little more difficult. Yes, Mordechai.
With the overhang over the side of the wall, do we consider that wall null and void, or do we consider it
usher? What does an
usher
mean?
We mean usher that even though it's there, we still consider it as part of the sukkah, or do we consider it?
No, it's nothing. It's out. It's gone. Don't count that wall. A wall that is in kasher, and kasher means proper height and proper connections, is out. You have to find that area, remember this little 2+1 from bird's eye view, that everything is good about it. That the walls are proper, based on the parameters I gave, and that the connection to the schach is proper, and then the schach, of course, has enough. Right? Three things. Enough schach connecting to walls, proper walls. Those are the three criteria you have to find in your enclosed area that you're sitting.
If I have 8 walls for my sukkah and only one's cut off, so even if it's 20 feet, unless it's kosher.
Right, you go to a place that's kosher.
Okay,
you go to a place in the sukkah that's kosher, which again, in most cases, is easiest to find. Just ahead of time. So, I'd rather wait for that table or something. Again, I don't know if you can be dining in fancy restaurants. It's more like, grabbing a quick sandwich and sitting in some sukkah. Again, in malls, it's a little bit easier because in malls, they're building sukkahs in the parking lots. And in the yeshuvim, it's easier, like in a frater space. This tends to be a problem, like in, what do they call it, Emek Rifaim or Machne Yehuda, or like tight, closed-in spaces in hotels. So if you're stuck, then just, go to a big mall somewhere, or go to a place with this space. Obviously, the yeshiva is a sukkah, but like, just to show you, take these things seriously. When I was your age, It was Pesach. It wasn't a sukkah this year. It was Pesach, and there weren't that much food around. And I couldn't afford to eat in a restaurant. It was on my own one night, and basically I went starving one night at Pesach. I couldn't find any food. I just bought a box of matzahs, and I sat in the park and ate a box of matzahs because I didn't have any food. They weren't selling any food. So, okay, you're not going to starve. So I'm sure your grandparents had a lot more challenging sukkahs. If you go one night without the best sandwich and you just eat some fruit and vegetables, nothing's going to happen to you. Okay, Levi?
What are the proper lengths to go to make sure to sleep in a sukkah? Like, to knock on every single door to find
No. Okay, look, just to let you, because I don't want you to feel like I'm telling you one thing. My father-in-law wants to take some of the family to a hotel, for whatever reason, we haven't been able to get together, and the issue came up, like, we're not going to be able to sleep in a sukkah hotel. And now when I was your age, I actually, when I stayed in the plaza, I pulled my mattress down to the sukkah and slept in the sukkah at night with all the vacuum cleaners. It was a little crazy, but today as a married person, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to all of a sudden bring my pajamas and my little nighty-nighty down to the sukkah in the hotel. And I'm halachic drachim, for a good reason, to keep it every aim and simple yom tov today. So I will be 2-3 nights not sleeping in a sukkah when I'm in the hotel. The rest of the time I will be sleeping in the sukkah. So that means if you don't have a reasonably convenient sukkah to sleep, and you don't have to wake people up. It's only they're waking me up in the morning. Say, you're going to sleep in your sukkah. Now, what the most important thing, more important than knocking on people's doors, Levi, is that this should be the year that you undergo this transformation of consciousness. When you were in kindergarten, we eat the matzah, we make a dreidel, we bake the this, and we eat in the sukkah. That's fraud. That's a forgery. We don't eat in the sukkah. We spend as much time as you can in a sukkah. And I saw people, we visited Rav Amita, you can come to my sukkah. I think the Simchas Beis is right. I don't know if you're going to be in our lunch, but you'll say we have a living room, I have a computer in the sukkah, we have a ping pong table. Like, we really live in our sukkah. And my upstairs sukkah is right near my bed. When I'm not in the bottom sukkah, now I'm not going to shower in the sukkah. I'm not going to go to the bathroom in the sukkah. I'm not going to cook the food and stuff. There's some things you can do in the sukkah, but whatever you can, reason there. Now, for you guys, you're not going to spend that much time in the sukkah because you should be out taking tiyulim and going swimming and having fun. And you're not going to carry a sukkah into the bowling alley. Carry the sukkah on top of your head. Go bowling, have a good time with friends. But that means that when you're not, when during your downtime, it's even more important to try to spend as much time in the sukkah. Now, here's the good thing. In Eretz Yisrael, it's one big camping. Like, it's all, one big, those of you who are from Moshe, I would call this a chutz. It's all one big chutz. What does that mean? Let's say you're in an apartment building, okay? And there's a sukkah in the parking lot downstairs, which everyone has, because you can't build it when you're passing. That sukkah is open season. You don't have to ask. You just bring your mattress and camp out on the side. They make an Eretz Yisrael as you sleep wherever you want. Like, no one's going to say, do you live here? You just sleep. And obviously, you stay. Don't barge in on someone's sukkah. But just any sukkah that's reasonably relevant to you. I'm in that building. Let's say your building doesn't have a sukkah. Everyone's pretty easygoing about it. And especially if there's buildings with older people for whom it's a little bit harder to sleep in a sukkah. So there's even more room for you to sleep in a sukkah. So you shouldn't feel bad about taking your knapsack, your sleeping bag, or even your, Israeli foamy mattress, and just, walking two apartments. Don't go to anyone's private sukkah, obviously, but two apartments down and seeing there's a sukkah in the parking lot, or there's a sukkah in the entranceway, and just putting your mattress down, which is what we used to do all the time. And now's the time. At a certain point, now, I can't sleep on a mattress in the sukkah. I'm not going to sleep. I need to have a bed at this point for my body. Baruch Hashem, move my bed into the sukkah. But this is a time where, a little foamy mattress is fine. It'll just fall. You'll sleep fine. So obviously, if anyone can sleep in the sukkah, you're mitztayer. If anyone has allergic issues and the trees or stuff, anything is going to cause you to really, really, not be able to sleep and enjoy it. And by the way, I feel it coming. Normally, by the time day three or four comes, I already have a cold because I'm sleeping if it's cold at night. So I try to make myself as warm as possible. I put on a sweatshirt and I put on my, but at a certain point sometimes I can't. I'm coughing too much. So don't be a fool. Don't sit there and cough and catch the flu, especially now that you have to keep your health intact. But within reasonable measures, this should be the time to sleep in a sukkah. Sell that. One day, leave out a nice big house in, I don't know, Riverdale or something. So you'll say, now that I'm a Bala Bas, let me build a nice sukkah on my deck and let me, take it seriously and play. And then you can have the luxury that I have, where I can sleep like a mensch in my sukkah and spend time like a mensch in my sukkah. Right now, you don't have your own sukkah. So go to normal lengths that you can, that's appropriate for your age. But one day, Mir Tashem, when you are a Bala Bas, build a sukkah in a way that, Mir Tashem, you can really enjoy and spend a lot of time there, rather than this little pop-up thing where you can eat Friday night and then move it to the house. Okay, that's where you should be. Trying to train yourself now. Okay? Any questions about sukkahs? Okay. Bein Hazmanim. A lot to talk about today. Bein Hazmanim. Okay. Bein Hazmanim is a really good time. Most importantly, to enjoy yourselves, chill, get together with friends, eat. It's really very, very important. You've been under a lot of pressure and a lot of hard work. It's really important that you take the time just to breathe and enjoy. It's a great time because a lot of boys come back, like the light bulb goes on. Okay, now you know what yeshiva is. So it's really true that at this point you have to leave to realize. I promise you, you'll walk in, you'll say, record this sentence. Okay, now I realize what yeshiva is. You're right, I didn't get it, now I realize what it is. Because it's a very different world out there. And you don't realize it until you spend a lot of time there, so it's a really good time. And therefore the question is, well, what should the balance between Lashem and Lachem be? So, I'm not going to give you, obviously, a number. I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. A great way to both enjoy Yom Tov and really enjoy Yom Tov and still make sure that you don't lose everything you've worked so hard for the last 5 weeks? It's really simple. It's so obviously simple. Just do davening well. If you go to a normal minyan and take it seriously and spend half an hour afterwards just learning a little bit and then find the ma'ariv at night, mincha if you can, maybe one or two also, mincha you may have to catch it. There's mincha in any attraction you go to. Just look for 10 men getting together in the parks and the water slides, and there's always 10 men everywhere in the canyons, outside the movie theater, wherever you are, there's always people davening. If you do minyan right, you're pretty much anchoring your day, and then the rest of the day go and join Tiulim. If you do minyan wrong, and I'll tell you what minyan wrong is, then you're always playing catch up, and you're always, and especially since most of the activities aren't going to really start, depending on who you're with. If you're starting a Tiul Teilat, you're walking Teilat, and you're starting at 4:30 in the morning. But in most cases, you're with your uncle, you're with your aunt, and by the time they get geared up, and the time the eggs are made, by the time they clean up, you know, it's 11:30 before you get moving. So you've already done your part, and now you're ready to join the team, and join the Tiul, and join. It's really true. It's always true about that. A life on vacation, Bein Hazmanim. Now, doing minyan right does not mean davening at 6:30. I don't want anyone davening unless you like it. Sleep. Enjoy your sleep. But also, you can daven later. It also doesn't mean rolling in for the 9:32 minyan that's going to hit Zman Kriya Shema, and you know, who shows up to the 9:32 minyan, I'll let you fill in the blanks. It means davening at a normal, healthy 8 o'clock. I mean, I like getting up early. I do the 7:00, 7:30. Normal 8:15, you know, when's Zman Kriya Shema? It's 9:40. You shouldn't be, if you know the answer to that question, that's a good sign. But, you know, 8:30, you know, normal Mesuder minyan, especially with Dalit Minyan. You have these like little ad hoc minyan, and you're killing each other with the lulav, you know, room. Like, you want to stand in front of a drug with you, lulav the right way, take it out of your, it's just these little makeshift minyanim in the back of a garbage can or in the, you know, top of a bus. It doesn't work in general. It doesn't work on sukkahs. And now that means at some point, realistically, you don't want to be going to sleep every night at 2:30. Now, if you say, you know what, I can do it. I'll get up at 2:30, stay up 2:30, I'll get up at 8. That's fine if you're a good sleeper. I'm just saying, just gun, aim for like something like that. If you tell me, Rebbe, you know, I'm so on fire, I'm going to spend 8 hours a day learning the base medrash, and I am not going to stop you. Well, I may stop you a little bit, make sure you get some air. But for most of you, it's a good time to be with family, be with friends, see the country, see the grass, get some air. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it looks like we're inching towards a better situation, but everything is unknown and unpredictable with Corona. And it could be that all of a sudden, 3 weeks into Zman, you have to stay on campus. It's not the end of the world, as you've realized, but so, especially this year. You know, right now, the country's open. You know, wear your mask just for your own health, for your own safety. Wear the mask because you want to follow the rules. But spend your time enjoying. I promise you that if the mornings and the evenings are done well, A, you've already created an anchor. B, you're not really getting in the way of plans. If you go to the 8:30 minyan or 9 o'clock minyan at night, the Ma'ariv minyan, your local shtibel or something, everyone's finished, everyone's tired, everyone's getting, you know, putting themselves to sleep at night. And the more you get up at a normal minyan, by the time you come back at 9:15, okay, now it's getting prepared for the teal. Okay, then try to find a sefer that you can learn a little bit during the day. Again, I don't want to tell people not to learn his man. Of course you should learn his man. But all of a sudden, they learn 8 hours a day. It's not realistic, and it's not where you're at right now. If you ask me, Rebbe, ideal situation, how much time should you be learning per day at this stage of your life, Beit Hazmanim? An hour 15, an hour and a half, somewhere between that. At this point, you're already moving towards that. You'd be thinking, you know, if you consistently aren't getting close to an hour 15, an hour and a half, then maybe make a change, day 3 or 4. If you're in that range, okay, this day I couldn't because I was walking to a lot, and this day I couldn't because we took a Tiul to Turkey. That day may not work out, but if all of a sudden you wake up and it's, you know, oh my goodness, it's Hashanah Rabbah, and I've learned 5 minutes a day, a little warning bell should go from your mind, and okay, I got to make a correction for the last couple of days. Yes, Ellie?
What do you think we should learn?
Whatever you want. The only thing is, you should try to learn Torah, not books about religion. No, books about religion are great. But that shouldn't count as your dhammata. I read a lot of books, obviously, about religion, but there's a little bit of a community, like, these are great books. Like, someone asked me yesterday about Baha'i's Light. I say, okay, it's even more substantive. I'm saying read Baha'i's Light, but that shouldn't be in place of Gemara, in place of... Okay, so books that describe how to be religious are really important, very helpful, and I read them as well, but sometimes, you know, did you learn a Gemara? Did you learn a Pasuk? Did you learn a Mishabura? Did you learn a Musa? Did you learn Machsh? I mean, it's a text of Torah. Okay, any other questions? Okay, Simchas Torah, everyone should be here, obviously. It'll be complete and total preparations for those who keep 2 days. Obviously, those who keep 7 days of the Chumrah. Those who keep 1 day.
You get twice as much COVID.
What?
You stay your second day, you get twice as much COVID.
What does that mean?
Everyone gets...
Oh, because of the dancing. I think... Okay. We're being very careful. I wouldn't worry about it. We're going to have it outside. And look, no one can tell, but this is a really, really carefully regulated company. Every decision we make, we think about carefully. Well, now, there's not, I don't know what's happening at the yeshivas, but like even last year, during the really, really bad COVID, we held out until February 20th. February 20th, the outbreak. Like, we take it seriously here. The rabbanim take it seriously. Again, it's hard to know that there's a virus that's been ever encountered, but you should have confidence that we're not playing games here. And if we say we're having Simchas Torah, again, if you feel you're going to be a little bit more mock, but no one's going to strong arm you into getting into the middle, you know, open your mask and let me breathe into you. No one's going to force you to do that, but you should have the confidence that, you know, you're not in, you know, a particularly dangerous situation. Who knows what's happening, but you should have that confidence. Okay, so Simchas Torah, everyone's here. There's a Simchas Beis Hashoah everyone night. I think it's Thursday night, right? I have to look at the schedule. The schedule was sent out, right? No?
Yes.
Yeah, yeshiva Simchas Beis Hashoah. So I have to think that I'm going to be in the hotel, then I'm going to come back to the Simchas Beis Hashoah. What it may have, again, I don't like to make my own personal Simchas Beis Hashoah, but the last thing I want to do during your ban is manim is force you to come back to lunch. It's like the last thing I want to do. I want you to enjoy yourselves. But if you're coming back anyway, for the Simchas Beis Thursday, we may have like a pizza party in my sukkah just for us an hour before. So let's say the Simchas Beis Hashoah is starting at whatever. I don't even know, 8, I'll invite you at 7 o'clock just for some pizza and some music. And then we'll go to yeshiva.
Four.
I'll look at the schedule. I have to see my own schedule. But again, I'm very mocked not to have Simchas Beis Hashoah in my sukkah. Because you should be out having a great time. Not saying, I got to get back to my Rebbe's house and visit. Like, oh my goodness. So enjoy a lot of fun Simchas Beis Hashoah in Yerushalayim. The most important part is you can tell, I really want you guys to have a good time. I really want you to enjoy, see the country, meet other Jews, meet other people. It's a great time to be here. The weather's fantastic. And just, you'll see, Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael is holistic. It's not, you know, here and there you walk into Sukkot. The whole country feels Sukkot. The whole country is celebrating. It's part of the appeal of being in Eretz Yisrael is that it's organic. Okay? Any questions, Eliyahu, before we start Yom Kippur discussion? Yes, Eliyahu.